Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your
mind. Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Okay, we are all very concerned about the budget battle going on right now. Folks, this show is released for broadcast on our website and to our radio stations and podcasts, usually by Friday between 1 and 3 p.m., Pacific Standard Time. Now, that means my comments on the budget battle might be a bit dated, since today, when I'm producing the show, is when it's all going to go one way or the other. However, my sentiments on the subject are nevertheless timely. My friends, it is unconscionable that Obama, the commander-in-chief, would refuse to cooperate with a measure that would ensure our men and women in uniform continue receiving their pay during this budget battle. Now, we might argue about a lot of things in the budget, but no one with a modicum of sense has any question about the constitutional requirement that we provide for the common defense. Now, we know that one side on this debate doesn't care a bit about the Constitution. I know, God help us. But Obama using the military as a trump card in a political game, using it in political gamesmanship because he hopes to corner the Republicans in his effort to get a government shut down that he can blame on them, it adds to my utter contempt for him as leader of this nation. It is outrageous. The buck falls on Obama's desk. If he refuses Boehner's offer of a resolution allowing the military to be paid during their budget battles, he alone is to blame. Obama is the worst commander-in-chief of the military in the history of our nation, cold-heartedly turning his back on soldiers he has sent into harm's way. Let's hope by the time you get this show, they have found a way to make sure our soldiers are paid while the dimwits play politics. With the budget crisis, that, by the way, is now owned entirely by the Democrats who refuse to take the serious steps necessary to address it. Pay attention. The conservatives suggest spending cuts, but you know, the Dems, you know what they really want? They want tax hikes. Oh yeah, they squawk about reducing corporate taxes as if by doing so is reducing or giving a tax break to the rich. What a bunch of foolishness. And you know what? The dirty little secret is they know better. Remember when Clinton told the businesses who were concerned about corporate tax increases? Remember when he said, well, look, all you got to do is raise the price of a hamburger a little to cover it? Do you remember that? You see, folks, that's exactly right. Get this, and don't ever forget it. Corporate taxes are paid by you. Corporate taxes hurt the poorest among us. Obviously, business has to make a profit to stay in business, hey? If the government taxes business, it becomes part of the cost of doing business. And that has to be factored into the price that's paid for their product. Don't you get it? All taxes are paid ultimately by the consumer. It's a way these yahoos have to hide tax increases upon the poor. It's a wicked business. The dimwits know that tax increases are not popular, so they don't say in a direct way that they want to address deficits by tax increases. Instead, just over and over and over again, ad nauseum, they say Republicans want to take food and medicine from children and the elderly and give tax breaks to the rich. That's all these guys have to say. It's like a broken record. You're having a conversation with these people, trying to have a serious conversation about the destructive tax and spend policies that have brought us to the brink of national bankruptcy, why it's almost impossible. Conservatives say we need to get serious about our spending and we need to cut back. Liberals immediately start screaming at conservatives, accusing them of wanting to take food and medicine from the children and the elderly and give tax breaks to the rich. Conservatives ask liberals to produce a serious budget that actually honestly addresses much-needed spending cuts, and the liberals, off they go with their cohorts in the media, accusing conservatives of wanting to take food and medicine from children and the elderly and give tax breaks to the rich. Conservatives ask liberals, what would you be willing to cut from the budget? Liberals respond by screaming about conservatives wanting to take food and medicine from children and the elderly and give tax breaks to the rich. Conservatives ask, how can we possibly defend funding Planned Parenthood counseling pimps on how to get their gals an abortion without reporting, without alerting the authorities? The National Endowment for the Arts, with their dung-smeared Madonnas and their crucifixes in urine? And National Public Radio sympathizing with Muslim terrorists? How can we do that anytime, but especially when we're broke? And the liberals howl about conservatives wanting to take food and medicine away from children and the elderly and give tax breaks to the rich. Oh, give me a break. You people make me sick. The dimwits are depending on the simple dimwits in America to blame the conservatives for any government shutdown. And all we can hope for is that the lights will come on and Americans will see the truth. The tax and spend maniacs in the Democrat Party are destroying this nation, along with the asinine policy of prohibiting drilling for our own oil, making us dependent on foreign oil, and all the while funding with billions of taxpayer dollars Brazil's drilling for oil and Arab drilling for oil. This insanity must stop, I'm telling you. And that brings me to 2012. Is the Trump card in the coming political card game with the Democrats and Obama in 2012, when the trick to be won will be the Oval Office? Well, he's certainly stirring things up. We like his business acumen and his open and frank manner of dealing with people and situations will be a refreshing tonic after Obamatics. I mean, the most opaque, secretive, double-talking White House in our history. Trump is on the rise right now, and it has a lot to do with his willingness to speak honestly about the birther issue. And that does get our attention. And the first thought is, the Donald for Prez? That's kind of hard to put that together at first. But then you start looking at him and you get past the haircut. I'm just kidding. You begin to see in him the answer to a keenly felt need for leadership. And we all feel the need for someone in the White House who can take care of business, eh? Someone who can say, you're fired. Oh, man, how we'd love to see that, huh? To Eric Holder, you're fired. And Napolitano, you're fired. I mean, it would be great if we could get Trump in there and he could say to Obama, you're fired. I mean, that would be awesome. We'd love to send Trump up against China, huh? Colombia and the rest of them on trade agreements and trade deficits. You'd love to see a savvy guy like Trump take on the economic woes we face right now. He has a proven track record in the art of taking care of business. Now, he's going to hit a pothole when his record on abortion comes into the light. As a businessman, you know, he can say, quote, that he favors abortion rights but respects those who oppose his position, end quote. Yeah, okay. He can say, quote, I believe it's a personal choice that should be left to the woman and her doctors, end quote. Now, as a businessman, that's not going to create any controversy for him. It's not going to keep people from watching his show or from doing business with him. But when he runs for the presidency on the GOP platform, since we can be reasonably certain he won't even attempt to beat Obama out for the Democratic nomination, har har, he's going to be challenged on the question of abortion in a way and on a level he probably has not had to deal with. Presidents do have a serious impact on abortion issues, you know, either signing or vetoing legislation that favors or opposes abortion. It's huge. Now, people are going to care about this on both sides of that issue, by the way, and the GOP has traditionally kept a pro-life plank in their platform. Now, here, from the party platform, quote, and Sarah Palin, I'll read this, we must keep our pledge to the first guarantee of the Declaration of Independence. That is why we say the unborn child has a fundamental individual right to life which cannot be infringed. We support a human life amendment to the Constitution, and we endorse legislation to make it clear that the 14th Amendment's protections apply to unborn children. Our purpose is to have legislative and judicial protection of that right against those who perform abortions. We oppose using public revenues for abortion and will not fund organizations which, that should be that, advocated. We support the appointment of judges who respect traditional family values and the sanctity of human life, end quote. Now, the GOP crowd here in California ought to take another read over that, huh? Now, recently, I read here that Trump says he opposes abortion rights. Now, this was March 4, 2011, so it's very recent. Apparently, he has made a change that I've not heard about. This was in Iowa, and Iowa is a blue state, and that means it's a dimwit state. By the way, I should explain that, D-E-M hyphen wit. That can be taken as a compliment by some, since the word wit suggests inventiveness, keen intelligence, and so on. However, the qualifier on that is dim, D-E-M, which is a homophone with dim, D-I-M, and so dimwit is admittedly the intended implication. Okay, I fess up. You know, as in Schumer's three branches of government, the House, the Senate, and the presidency, eh? Or Obama's, I've visited 57 states and I've got a few more to go. Or my favorite, we have to pass the bill so the people can learn what is in it. Okay, case made. But of course, all of these guys can spell potato. Anyway, we've seen this before. George Bush, one, was pro-choice, but he switched to pro-life when he was tagged by Reagan to be his VP. And not to his credit, he never wavered on that commitment. We didn't have any read my lips capers on that one. Now, throughout his term as VP and throughout his term as president, he stayed true to pro-life. Apparently, it was a genuine conversion. And there is basis for accepting a Trump conversion to a full pro-lifer position, since he has, from the beginning, opposed partial birth abortion, and in so many other respects, shows signs of being a social conservative. Now, he does come with some baggage on that issue. He's been married three times, and as I said, he has to explain his Damascus Road conversion from pro-choice to pro-life. And we will hope it's not purely political, since that would mean here we go again. You know, another say what you have to say to get in, and then govern against your own campaign promises. A la Obama. Will the Trump card be able to win the abortion trick? Well, he might. Like I said, we've seen impressive conversions before that have proved to be authentic. If he can win the abortion trick and the gay rights trick, by the way, he just might trump the big one and land in the Oval Office. I know Glenn Beck is very upset with him for getting into the race, and the reason is probably, my guess is it's because Trump stands a very good chance to trump his Mormon buddy Mitt Romney. Now, Romney. Okay, I just don't trust him. I know you think it's all about him being Mormon for me as a Baptist. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I actually voted for Romney in the primary because I thought he truly was the best option available to us at that time. But truth be told, I always had a gut level of distrust for him. He's a political machine, you know. Do you know what I mean? Okay, everybody's a political man. We can parse the words and split the hairs, but here's what I'm trying to say. When Romney governed a blue state, he governed blue. Remember that. He was governor of Massachusetts, and when he ran for office in that dimwit state, he represented himself as a pro-choice candidate. He repeatedly said during his campaign there that he would, quote, defend and protect a woman's right to choose, end quote. Now, by the way, when he was challenged on that later, his explanation was basically that he was running in a blue state. So, hey, even though he was personally pro-life, in order to win in that state, he had to assure Massachusetts that he would not interfere with their desire to uphold the legalization of murdering babies in the womb. Of course, that's not how he put it, but that was his rationale. Now, that's very different from the Bush conversion story, and I've not heard Trump's conversion narrative, so we'll see. Another thing about Romney, you know, he led his state to establish RomneyCare, a state-level healthcare program like Obamacare. And at first, his response to criticism on this was not that he objected to government-run healthcare. Rather, that he thought it simply ought not to be federalized, let each state do what they wanted to do to answer the question. Now, I certainly agree with states' rights and the 10th Amendment. However, this brings into question his fundamental ideas about government's role in healthcare and in other areas of our lives. Now, he's developed his story since then, and I just, that kind of thing, it disturbs me. I just don't trust him. And it's not because he's Mormon. Hey, you know what? I don't endorse my Baptist brother Huckabee either. Hey, does that surprise you? Well, surprise, surprise, I don't. I just don't think he has what we need in the area of national defense. I don't see him handling our foreign affairs effectively. He's just a bit too squishy for me. I've watched him in combative scenarios, and I just don't think he has enough steel in his spine to handle being disliked up close and personal. Now, he's going to make people very angry with him because he tends to make nice in order to reduce tension in a disagreement, which is great for a diplomat, but I don't know about a presidency. He'll tend to make people feel like he's with them when he's not. He'll act on his principles ultimately, and many are going to come away thinking he's a weasel. You know, he's a man that uses weasel words. He makes promises that he doesn't keep, so he's going to come across like that. On the presidential level with foreign affairs, he is going to create serious problems for us. So there's that. And then there's the unsettling business about him destroying records from his tenure as governor, leaving us with the suspicion he had something to hide. Now, where's that article? Here it is. Quote, records from Huckabee's tenure as governor are unavailable, and the computer hard drives that once contained them were erased and physically destroyed by the Huckabee administration as the governor prepared to leave office and launch a presidential bid, end quote. Now, Trump is really stirring this eligibility issue, and I'm glad. It's a constitutional issue, and it deserves to be taken seriously. Now, like I said during Obama's campaign, I'm not going to let it go. And as you know, I continue to refer to Obama as the president-alleged, where's your birth certificate, sir? So let me conclude this first segment with a birther update. Hawaii's only Republican state senator, Sam Slom, I think is how you pronounce his name, tells us he considered this birther business a lot of bother about nothing until it began to come out that Obama has spent millions to conceal not only his birth records, but other records as well. I mean, folks, Obama is a closed book to us. He won't let us in on his past, you know, except what he wants us to believe about it. So anyway, here's this Tim Adams fella. He's a liberal. He worked in Honolulu during the Obama's campaign as senior elections clerk. And he swears on an affidavit that, quote, superiors at the elections office in Honolulu checked with the state health department and local hospitals only to find out that none had Obama's long-form birth certificate, a document specifying the hospital where he was born and the attending physician, end quote. That's suspect, huh? His family argued, Obama's family argues about where he was born. His grandmother says he was born in Kenya. His sister says he was born in Hawaii, but she can't figure out which hospital it was in. On separate interviews, she's named separate hospitals. His own wife, Michelle, referred to Kenya as his home country, so you see, it's just weird, folks. Look, many have looked deeply into this, and here is the most likely answer to the question. And it's based on what few facts we can certify surrounding his birth narrative. From a lifelong Democrat, by the way, who's very concerned about what he considers to be a cover-up on his party's part that will explode the credibility of his beloved party, and he's probably, without any question, the most knowledgeable individual on the facts in this case. And he is an attorney by the name of Philip Berg. And he says, quote, one explanation is that Obama's mother, Ann Durham, flew to Kenya in 1961 with Obama's father to meet his family. Obama's family did not take to Stanley Ann Durham Obama very well because she was white, according to Sarah Obama. Shortly after she arrived in Kenya, Stanley Ann decided to return to Hawaii because she later said she did not like how Muslim men treated their wives in Kenya. However, by the time she wanted to leave Kenya, it was during the late stages of her pregnancy. She was not able to board a plane because the airlines wouldn't allow women so close to birth to fly. It is instead believed that Barack Hussein Obama was born in Kenya, as his grandmother apparently stated. Then, after he was born, his mother returned with him to Hawaii, where his birth was registered on or about August 8, 1961, in the Public Records Office in Hawaii. End quote. Now, that makes sense. His mother, understandably, wanted her baby to have American citizenship, perhaps, huh? And so as soon as she was able, she returns to America, registers the birth of her son in Hawaii, and because of a strange law in Hawaii, she was able to do that by a simple affirmation. I think it takes two family members to just say he was born there. It is likely that Obama did not even know about this for much of his life. And it is even possible and likely that it didn't become an issue for him or of any concern to him after he did learn about it, until he was recruited by the DNC to run for the office of president. That's when all his personal records went into lockdown. And he hired attorneys to run all over the country, filing whatever it is they filed to deny permission to release personal records. You know, like school records, birth records. You know, the really sensitive personal stuff we all want to hide. Huh? That could be more sinister, I suppose. Maybe the Illuminati recruited his American mother and African father after genetic and background studies showed they would produce just the sort of mulatto child who could be carefully reared under the right mix of Marxist ideology and American subculture to produce the perfect Manchurian candidate to bring America into the control of the beast. I'm kidding, sort of. It's more likely a pretty ordinary story of time and chance and circumstance and opportunity taken advantage of by people who do have an agenda to bring America down so the beast can rise. I don't doubt Obama was groomed by persons interested in bringing America into the web of Marxist socialism, and that at the root of this is the love of money, Soros, and the power that comes with it. But I suspect that Obama is himself a very ordinary man whose only exceptional ability is campaigning. Oh, that and his extraordinary ability to read a teleprompter very convincingly. He probably would make a very good news reporter or sportscaster. He is very knowledgeable in that area, you know. And yet something recently has come to light. You've heard about Gaddafi's open letter to Obama, right? He addressed him as our son. Our dear son, Excellency Baraka Hussein Abu Umama, end quote. Is Obama afraid we'll see Gaddafi's name on the birth certificate? No, of course not. He doesn't have Gaddafi's nose. I'll be right back.
You can't put a price tag on the truth, but there is a price tag to broadcast it. You can help. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Want to help us slay the dragons of deceit with the sword of the spirit? Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter here, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Will the Donald be the Trump card in the upcoming game for the presidency in 2012? He has certainly stirred up the birther issue. That story will not die, no matter how many times the liberals try to stab it dead. But some conservatives have tried to kill it too, huh? Like Glenn Beck. Now, you might have heard Rush get read out by a lady who was angry that he didn't lead the charge on this. And it's been left up now to Donald Trump. But you know, Rush has always been open to it. He has been watching it, waiting to see if it could be substantiated. Glenn Beck bothered me because he openly slammed it. He ridiculed us birthers. The only thing that bothered me about Beck's take on it was his attempt to paint birthers as buffoons or as dupes. That was disappointing. That and his dismissive statement regarding the danger of the homosexual agenda, making a joke of the idea that it was dangerous to our country and to our culture. What was that about? I mean, you know, why soft on homos and hard on birthers? Nevertheless, I'll miss Beck's Fox spot and trust he will do well in his next venue. But listen, this whole Jesus is Satan's brother thing, the idea that God is making babies with his wife in heaven and these spirit babies come into human bodies, and all this nonsense, that the thing about being married in heaven when Jesus said we'll be like the angels who neither marry nor are given in marriage, it's just unbiblical and weird. Now, you Beckites, go ahead and get all frothed up in the mouth at me if you want. I love you anyway. Now, look, this comes up again because Palin blew it when she endorsed pro-choice candidates in California. Oh, yeah, she sold her soul, man. And Bachman's doing fairly well, but she can't quite catch the wave. Romney is at present a front runner for the GOP nomination, and many of you, my beloved dear listeners, are going to put pressure on me to endorse him. And if I don't, many of you are going to accuse me of rejecting him because he's Mormon, and not so I'm going to address this briefly. I don't reject Beck's politics because he is Mormon. I like Beck's politics. I don't reject Romney's politics because he's Mormon, but I don't like Romney's politics. Just like I don't suspect Soros of plotting with Obama and company to arrange a global currency because he's Jewish. He managed to avoid being deported, by the way, to a concentration camp by posing as the adopted godson of a Gentile Christian employee, quote, Christian, end quote, employee of the Hungarian Ministry of Agriculture. Do you know that? And did you further know he worked for the Jewish Council in Hungary, created by the Nazis to carry out Hitler's anti-Semitic policies? I do know that there were quite a few Jews who did work for the other side. Now, Soros' father, who was a successful lawyer in Hungary, bribed a Gentile neighbor to let his son live with him, posing as an adopted godson. And under this cover, Soros participated in this fellow's work, which involved sometimes inventorying the property of deported Jews to be confiscated by the Nazis. And in an interview on 60 Minutes, Soros explained his collaboration with the Nazis as a 13 and 14-year-old kid, and he basically put it out that he was just a kid trying to stay alive. Well, okay, but here's what's disturbing. That from his own testimony, he informs us he felt no guilt at all watching his fellow Jews being hauled away or watching their property being stolen from them while he was pretending to be a, quote, Christian, end quote, the godson of one of the Hungarian Nazi stooges doing this stuff to his neighbors. And that's just kind of unnatural and very unusual. Soros explains that this is when his character was cast. Now, that's his own assessment. He explained he felt no guilt or compunction about his participation in any of that. Now, get this. Why? Because he was only a spectator. Now, keep that in mind. When he was asked about whether he feels now any compunction about his part in destroying the economies of Thailand and what about, four, let me see, where is that? Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia, Japan, Russia. Huh, England's not named here, but I did read somewhere. I can't put my hand on it right now. He's credited with destroying England's banks. You probably heard about that. We all know he is working with Obama to destroy the dollar. And this guy says, quote, I'm basically there to make money. You know, I'm in it for the money, right? I cannot and do not look at the social consequences of what I do, end quote. He does not concern himself with the social consequences of his actions. And he learned that while living undercover, watching his Jewish neighbors getting deported and having their property pillaged, while he did nothing. And he feels not the slightest shame or guilt for this. And that is unusual. The human conscience has to be pretty well seared to create so cold a heart. You know, in his book, The Alchemy of Finance, Soros admitted that he fancied himself some sort of God. I kid you not. He explained that he knew it was sort of strange, but that he has gotten used to it. Now, actually, what he said is he's become comfortable with it since he has begun living it out. I mean, hey, this guy's too much. Now, I do know of another Jew who was offered the kingdoms of this world if he would bow down and worship at the feet of the one who seduced Eve with the temptation, ye shall be as gods. But thankfully, he refused the offer and went to the cross for us. Apparently, Soros accepted the offer. But hey, I don't suspect George Soros of targeting America's currency for destruction or for using Obama as his wrecking ball to destroy the American dollar. Anyway, I don't think this about Soros because he is Jewish. His ethnicity has absolutely nothing to do with it. And I don't resent Obama's presidency because he's black. You've heard me say that's the one thing I like about him. Even though that is the only reason he is president, by the way. Well, that is Soros' money. And, well, he is an exceptional campaigner. And yeah, he does have that extraordinary talent for reading teleprompters convincingly. So, you see, I don't reject Beck's politics because he's Mormon. I like Beck's politics, even though he's Mormon. I don't reject Romney's bid for the office because he's Mormon. I just don't like Romney's politics. I don't reject Obama because he's black, and I don't reject Soros because he's Jewish. And anyway, just thought I'd clear that up. I don't know who I'm going to vote for. It's too early to tell. But I wonder if Trump can become the Trump card in the game for the White House. Call me and leave a message on our listener response hotline. It's a free call to anyone within the continental United States, from outside the country, or for those who prefer it, you can email me by going to our website, clicking on the Contact Us button, and use thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com, all one word, lowercase. You know the drill. Give me lights on or lights off if you disagree with me, and leave your message for me. Remember, if you want me to call or write back, let me know and leave your contact information. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Invading the territory usurped by the devil through lies and liars, Pastor Scheibach is charging the gates of hell. He wants to know if you've got his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Singing Psalms is an audio CD of several psalms sung to my melodies. God wrote the words and I wrote the music. The cost is $10. Call 1-888-770-8000 or go to our web bookstore at www.santamarialighthouse.org.
For a complete brain massage experience, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com.